I'm going to say good morning to each one of you, and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that without fail, the Lord believes the best over us and for us. Amen. I thank God that the Word says not one evil thought does God have towards us. Amen. But only good. And so this morning, we want to be thankful for His goodness. We want to be just in awe of who He is, and we just want to worship Him, especially as we enter into this season where we just celebrate the birth of Christ. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. And I expect to see some of you women up at the altar asking the Lord for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Let me know. You're worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you. We just ask that our eyes be open.
Holy, 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 holy. are you, Father. Hallelujah. Worthy. You were the Word at the beginning, the one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing can stand to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus Christ.
better than you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you, just to worship you, just to get before you. We just want to be in your presence and be with you, our Lord. We just want to seek your face. We just want to seek your face, Lord God, and worship you. Have all of our praises come before you, Lord. Hallelujah. We just praise you.
I'm caught up in your presence. Just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus. You don't know. Just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I come with my agenda. I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to see. Nothing else will do.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just come before you now, and we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your love. Lord, we thank you for everything. You're an amazing God. And right now, we just want to take the time to worship you, to bring our own voices up to you, and to tell you how much we love you, how much we need you, how much we're thankful that you came into our lives, that you have set us free, that you have broken the bondages, that you have broken the chains of bondages off of us, that we are now new creatures in Christ, created after you, that old things have passed away and all things have become new, that we don't live in a place that we used to, but we live in the place with you. That means so much. That means so much. That we're loved, that we're protected, that we're in your hand. And nobody can pluck us out. The safest place we could ever be. Father, we just thank you. We just take this time to glorify your holy name. To join in with the elders and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. We give you a hand clap of praise. We worship you and you alone, Father God. Let every praise, hallelujah. Let every song, let every praise heart God. Sing out to
hallelujah.
You,
God. Praise the
sing
Lord.
Out to you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen, Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Worthy are
thank
you.
Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Woo. We definitely want you. We need you. Praise God. Life would be nothing without you.
Amen.
Praise
it's so
God.
True.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Since this is your idea and your plan, amen. Whew. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. We definitely need you in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Worthy.
Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Jesus.
Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm just so thankful for this time of year. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Praise God. And I heard that the ladies had a really good time yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
let's
God.
First start off by saying everybody, Stacy is our leader of that. She has been for years. She is amazing. She does amazing. But everybody that helped, please stand up so that we can thank you.
Yeah.
Sisters, I know you helped. Mona, I know you helped.
Hallelujah.
People,
amen.
Stand up. We want to clap for you. Roger, sit down. Thank you guys so much.
Praise God.
We should say, Dave, you stand up because we heard the stories about the table. So,
amen.
Dave helped too.
Praise
Listen,
God.
There should have been way more than three people up here at this altar.
Woo!
And you know who you are.
Woo!
I was proud of the ones that came, but you know who you are. No, we had an amazing time. We always, men, we think we would scare you away. That's really why we don't bring you in, because.
Because you get a little
it's
wild.
It's a little frightening at times.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord.
You got Candy ready to tackle anybody that takes any gifts she likes.
Woo, amen. Praise
she's
God.
Like, and then she's daring you to come get hers. I've got a new word, ladies. I've been searching and searching. Okay, I got it. I almost forgot it. We're selecting a gift that somebody else already has. Right?
Well, praise God. Hallelujah.
We select a gift.
Amen.
And it just happened to be what somebody else got, but that's the rule. So we're allowed to select.
So you selectively
that gift.
Steal gifts. Amen. Amen.
Candy, you were the one that should have been up at this altar first and the longest.
Praise
Who agrees
God,
with me, ladies? I'm
Praise
forgiven.
God, hallelujah.
I don't
Amen.
Know. I didn't see you repenting.
Amen. Amen.
But you could have been home, so we're going to let you go.
Yeah. Amen.
No, I'm telling you, it is one. I didn't feel good yesterday. I feel better today. Thank you for praying for me, because I know you did, because I feel it this morning. Amen. But yesterday, I didn't even participate in a game. You know I'm not feeling good if I don't participate in a game. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm having just as much fun as if I, you know, as when I participate in games, because I love games. I love them. Yeah. And just to watch these ladies laughing, where is Miss Kendra this morning? You tell her she should have been up here. Your daughter? She does. I told her. And she said, I know. But she is the sweetest. She is the sweetest. Now, she is feisty, and she selected other people's stuff, too, along with her friend. But I was watching them during the game, and I just have to tell you that I think I even said something to our table. I love that those girls are having so much fun. They were just smiling ear to ear, excited. They just lit up. And that lit me up, because it just was amazing to see. So that's the part, the fellowship with each other, watching each other laugh and joke and just be family and threaten, I guess. Amen. I think I had to tell the tables over here, I'm sorry a lot. Yeah. Honey, I'd have to get up and say, I'm so sorry. And I had to hug Laura. Because I selected her gift. Yeah, so I had to give her some love. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise
she
God.
Wasn't going to last night, though.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yo, you men, you do miss it, but we will do something different for you if you want us to, but we're not inviting you in on that. But we will do something different for you if you want us to. Mm-hmm. I'll whatever, but you can't be invited on ours. I don't think we would be as free and as, so you just have to take what you can get and don't throw a fit.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
We are going to have the Children's Christmas program on the 17th, and after church that day, we're going to have a family Christmas meal, a carry-in.
Yes. Amen.
So be prepared for that. Yes. Stay and eat with
the
us.
17th. Amen. We're going to eat together.
Yes.
And be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
Have our family Christmas
Amen.
Meal together.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. And
so that'll be a good time.
Are you going to make the ham? You can make a ham.
I can?
Barely. No, everybody already knows he's a great cook. I can't even pretend. I can't even act like he's not. He's an amazing cook. So. But we will
Praise
have it that
God.
Day. But I'm excited for the children's Christmas program.
Amen.
That day. What else do we have coming up? Christmas Eve service is
going
to be at 6 o'clock that
Amen.
Night. We're going to have our regular service. Why?
Yes.
Why do we have to groom you men? Why?
It's a part of what you should be doing.
I didn't read that in no
it's
handbook.
The blessing.
Didn't any
part
women read
blessing.
That in some marriage handbook?
part of the blessing.
I didn't even read that in the Bible.
It's part of the blessing.
Ye shall groom your men.
Amen. Praise God. That's how we know you love us. Amen.
Or we just want to hit you.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit.
Here's a bug.
Yeah.
See,
he did. He
you
did
even
the
got
back
Brother Dave
me.
Having to groom you. Thank you for helping out, Brother Dave. We appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so.
Hey, by the way, I had my shirt on first today, so Pastor Regina was following after me today. Woo! Praise God. And then I got one more thing here to tell you.
Wait a minute.
What?
I hadn't worn mine yet. He knew I was saving mine for Sunday. So that's wrong. You didn't even give me time to rebut.
Whoa. No. Even our shoes are matching, babe.
That's thanks to...
And I had those on first, too. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo! I wear these every single day.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not trying to be like Phil. Yeah. Trying to be like Jesus.
You're trying. Hey, and as you're following after me, as I follow after Christ. Whoa! Praise
God. I'm just going to have
hallelujah.
A good one, too.
I'm just not letting her off the hook today. Every now and then, I got to get after her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like sometimes I like it because after Sunday service or something, I like to be able to tell her once in a while it happens that she'll talk to somebody a little longer than me. And I like to tell her, come on, lady, I'm not going to wait for you all day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Usually she's always waiting for me. Praise the Lord. But I want one more thing to tell you about. Out on the counter out there, the welcome area, there's a little book called The Wondrous Story.
We're two days behind on this.
Yes, and this is actually written by our campus pastor in Urbana, Pastor Kylan, and it's just a little guide that you can go through to read something every day during the month of December related to the birth of Christ, and it's a good reminder for us. It's a good way for us to start because we want to remember why we really celebrate Christmas. Amen? So that's out there, and please pick up a copy, and you can have that and read through it, and it'll be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, with that being said, I think all the children, most of them, are out of here, but if not, let's let those children go to class, and then let the teens go to class this morning so they can spend some time seeking the Lord. Praise God. And then we are just going to take just a moment here to remind ourselves that when it comes to giving, I want you to have a revelation out of your own understanding as to why you give. Tithe and offering is a very personal and promising covenant benefit of being in a relationship with the Lord. I want to remind you that in one scripture, the Lord says that we should not forget the weightier things of the law, like judgment and mercy and all of those things, like forgiveness. But along with that, we should offer our tithes and offerings to make sure that we open up this area for God to move on our behalf. So this morning, I'm just going to open up this time for you to just determine in your heart why you give, how you give. Just honor the Lord today and put Him first, and remember that the Bible says that the Lord not only loves a cheerful giver, but when we give generously, we will be blessed in that same regard. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just exalt you today, Father. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Father, for us to open our hearts in this area, to release our faith toward you, God. God, this is a very sensitive, intimate place, God, for people, the area of finances. And Father, it's a moment for us to just declare that you are Lord, not just in word, but indeed and in every aspect of our life. And that, God, we trust you with the most sensitive areas of our life because we know that we're better off to have you involved, Father. This is an area where you even say in your word, prove me in this area. Let me show you what I will do. And Father, I thank you for your goodness, your love, and your kindness, and your blessing upon our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Praise God. What? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, over the next few Sundays, we're obviously going to be talking about our faith, but also importantly and very significantly is one of the greatest events that ever happened in humanity's time on this earth, and thank God for it, is the birthing of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 7:14 says that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Right here in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and even forever. Praise God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. And I just want to go to one more scripture before we start out this morning, because I'm going to start out a little differently probably than we do sometimes when we're getting into Christmas conversations about faith, because I want to remind us of the most important thing. And it says in Mark chapter 13, verse 24, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, and that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Be ready, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, as we get ready to celebrate the Christmas season, and we have the decorations, and we have all the hopes and dreams out there, you know, I was asking some kids this morning about, you know, were they excited about Christmas, and did they have presents picked out, and they were saying yes, yes, and they were just excited. But I want the man's family to know that some little girl was expecting a big brand new car for Christmas. So just to throw that out there for you. But what I wanted you to know is that I thought it was wonderful to see their excitement and to hear them and to see all the things that we get excited about leading up to Christmas. And I certainly want us to do that. I can't wait till grandbabies open up their Christmas presents on Christmas Day. But I started with this scripture in the book of Mark that reminds us that in the time in which we live, no matter what's going on around us, the thing we must be most aware of, even though we're going to celebrate the birthing of Christ and his first coming to this earth, the thing that we need to be most prepared of, most aware of, and most excited about is that we have a promise in the Word that the Lord is going to come again. And we're going to talk about him being in the manger and being at his weakest when he was here, vulnerable to all the things of this world, and God had to protect him. But I also want to remind us that when he comes this time, woo, my goodness, we're talking about the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. We're talking about him coming in his glory, his power, his authority, and it will not be a silent moment when the Lord comes. It will be known. Everyone will be aware. And let me tell you something. Whether we serve him or not, we'll all fall down. Woo! Praise God. So I just want to remind you that as we go into this season of talking about Jesus, that we want to make sure that we remember, most importantly, that while we are celebrating his birthing and the joy of Christmas, we want to also keep a reminder that he is going to return again. And when he returns, the Lord declares, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm going to say, yes, he will, because I know that for me and for you, I believe each one of you are going to keep your faith at the forefront of your pursuit of him. Amen? You know, I just want to take a few moments to remind you that some people question all the roots and the reasons why Christmas is celebrated, but I want you to know something, that the tradition of Christmas was brought in specifically to be celebrated in the month of December, because the month of December, which is obviously the darkest time on the earth because time, light slims down and night seems to last forever, amen? My goodness, sometimes you'll look outside and you think it's 9 o'clock and it's about 5:30 or 6, amen? But what I want you to know is that in lots of places, it used to be years ago that they would have pagan or non-faith-based celebrations that were dark. And I'm telling you, you would hate to know all the details of what went on at that time, from the violence and the death and all those kinds of things. And I want you to know that really I think it's amazing that we celebrate Jesus at Christmas time, because even the world started calling out for something different. And to replace those negative, nasty, pagan holidays with something that would not be so devastating, they actually begin to open up. And before you know it, Jesus was celebrated around the world and his birth was spoken of. You know, that's one thing why I will tell you that, like when I worked at places and stuff, I would never let them put up Xmas. What in the world is that? I can't stand that. It might just be my own personal little opinion here, but I'm telling you, I never write Xmas on anything because I'm not taking Christ out of Christmas. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want to make sure that Christ is the most prevalent part of Christmas. And you can study that word out and you'll find out that Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, is most important. But mass in that word, Christmas, actually means the gathering together or the sending out to the masses. And I want you to know something, that we can never forget the roots of Christmas, why it is, how it got started, and what it means for us today. Amen? I think that one thing that we always want to do during this time is also remember, and I'm just going to go here for just a minute because it just came into my spirit. I want you to know something, that I also want to remind you that at Christmas time, even though we can have our goals and our desires of what we want to give and what we want to do for people in that natural kind of present and gift giving and even our own desires. We might be wanting a big gift this year, praise God. Amen. But in the middle of that, I also want you to know that during this season of time, we can't forget those who are without. We can't forget those who, instead of celebrating Christmas, find themselves alone. We can't forget those who, instead of being so excited about Christmas coming, it might be the first year that they're without a loved one. It might be their first year that maybe they don't have mom or someone around that was critically important to them. And I want you to know something, that as people of faith, I hope that in the busyness of this Christmas season, we still keep our heart open for moments and opportunities to love, pray for, and to just be kind to those who we can be kind to. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know something, that during this season, I do believe that we should have joy. During this season, I do believe that we should have our heart open to know about the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. But I also believe that we should have our heart open to be thoughtful and kind towards others. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Now we're going to get into the scripture this morning that we're going to sit in for just a little bit. And we're going to read in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Praise God. I want you to know that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" I want you to know something, that from the time Jesus was born on this earth, there has been a manifestation of his love for people. But I also want you to know that there has been a manifestation that darkness was trying to come against him to stop the unstoppable. You know, it's interesting because in this scripture, we get to hear about Jesus and his birth and the fact that it stirred men, and they called them wise men. Why? Because anyone that looks to the Lord is wise. Amen? But I just want you to know something, that the wise men were in pursuit of Jesus because it was known that he was going to be born. But I also want you to know here that the king said, "Hey, if you find him, let me know so I can come and worship him also." But I want you to know something, that over the next few weeks, we will learn that that was a lie from the pit of hell. We will learn that that king was fearful of Jesus being born. And in fact, what he wanted to do was he wanted to find Jesus when he was an infant so he could destroy him and come against him. I'm telling you this story because I want you to understand something, that when Jesus chose to humble himself and come on this earth in human form, I want you to know that his walk was not easy, that he didn't just get a free pass because he lived wholly for God. He didn't get a free pass because he was the Son of God. He didn't get a free pass because he lived on this earth without sin. I want you to know something, that the Bible says that our Lord and Savior went through the things that are similar that we go through. He went through persecution, disappointment. He went through rejection. He went through the fact that all people did not lift him up and praise him, did not accept him or receive him. In fact, many came against him. And what I want you to know is that the reason why the Lord came to the earth was, yes, he wanted to take the authority of humanity back from the devil where it belonged. He came to the earth in human form because he wanted to overcome darkness and break the power of Satan, death, hell, and the grave. But I also want you to know something, that your Lord and Savior walked on this earth in human form so that you would have no doubt that not only does he understand who you are, not only does he understand the things you might go through, not only does he understand the difficulties, the battles of the mind and all the things that you might come in contact with, but he also wanted to demonstrate to you that if you would reach towards him, that you could overcome every situation that we face on this earth. I want you to know something, that the Lord did not want to be the kind of Lord that you could say, you never had the experiences I've had. He wanted to be the kind of Lord that went even before you and walked so as to speak in our shoes and in our moments, so that we would have no doubt that not only could he see our humanity, but he can love us through our humanity and he can help us in every situation in life. Amen? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow condemnation and self-doubt and the mistakes we made in our past and the mistakes we made yesterday to overtake us, to cause discouragement, to cause depression, to cause us to think that we're never going to measure up or that the Lord can't love us in our weakness and in our humanity and in our moments. But I want you to know something. He walked in human flesh. When he went to the cross, it wasn't something he did pain-free. When he went to the cross, it wasn't something that didn't bear heavy on him, because the Bible says that when he was praying, he carried a burden that was so heavy that he began to sweat, almost like he was sweating blood, the Bible says. Now, whether that's he really did or it was like that intense, to me, it doesn't really matter. For them to declare that description lets me know that it wasn't something that Jesus just sat there for 2 minutes and said, praise God, Lord, help me. Father, I can do this. In fact, what the Lord said about the cross was, Father, if there be any way at all, praise God, if there be any other way that we can accomplish this, please remove this cup. But not my will, your will be done. Amen? And so I want you to know something, that sometimes in this thing called life, I want us to understand that from the moment Jesus came to this earth, and even before he came to this earth, he was willing to suffer and embrace and go through some things for our benefit. Amen? I want to remind us this morning that one thing we always say in the Bible is to remember that the Lord said that if we're going to be his disciples and we're truly going to be his, number one, we have to continue in his word. But then it also says, what must we do on a daily basis? We must pick up our cross. We must pick up our cross and follow him. You know what that means, picking up your cross? It means that every day you make a decision to submit yourself to the Lord. Every day you make a decision that what's on your plate that day, you allow the Lord to be right there with you. I'm telling you right now that the Lord does not want you to be married on your own. The Lord does not want you to have friendships and relationships on your own. The Lord does not want you to go to work on a day-to-day basis on your own. If you're in school, if you're in college, or you're taking some kind of training courses for work, or if you're doing anything at all, I want you to understand something. The Lord never expects you or desires for you to do any of those activities on your own. I believe and I know by the Word of God that God wants you resting in Him, trusting in Him, and working with Him at every moment in this thing called life. You know, when we consider this time of season, I want to remind us that we should remember that when Jesus came to this earth, it wasn't a last-minute thought. It wasn't a makeup plan. The Bible says that Jesus was slain or went to the cross before the foundation of the earth was ever done. In other words, before God began to speak to the heavens and the earth and give them form, because the Bible says that before the word of God was spoken, that the earth was without form and was void. But what's amazing to me is that God determined before he ever spoke to the earth to get it ready to breathe the breath into man. Before that ever happened, he had already determined that the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would be ready to do what it takes to give us the right to be called the children of the living God. You know, I want you to know something, that we are not an afterthought. That we are predetermined by God to be here. He loves you, he knows you, and he invested in you before you were even in your mother's womb. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. God loves us and he's with us. Amen. Praise God. I can read pretty much this whole chapter that I'm going to go to here. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And I could just read down through this whole thing, but I'm just going to read a verse here and then skip towards the end. And it says in verse 2, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." I want you to know something, that when the Lord came on this earth, I want you to understand that he was doing it because he had a destiny designed for you. I want you to know something, that the Lord was purposely coming to this earth with every commitment to make sure that not only did we have the right, but we had access to being the children of the living God through his sacrifice for us. And I'm just going to go down here to verse 13, and it says, "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." I want you to know something. From the time Jesus hit the manger and breathed his first breath, our Father in heaven was committed to the understanding that I have released my Son on this earth with the ultimate goal being that his birth is the first forefront of understanding that I have put in plan the motion to destroy the work of the devil. that I have taken this time in history to earmark the moment that I recaptured humanity to be who they are in me. And we're talking about this a little bit before Easter, which is good, praise God, hallelujah, which is okay, hallelujah, because I want you to know something, that from the time Jesus walked on this earth to the time he finished his course, our Father in heaven had it earmarked that the event above all events would be the resurrection of his son. And I want you to know something, that it is so representative of the fact that in the Bible it tells the story that when Jesus died, immediately the veil of the temple was ripped in half. And what this represents is that when Jesus was born, it was a fundamental foundation of what God in heaven did for each one of us to be prepared to get us all back. Praise God. I'm telling you how amazing it is that Jesus began to breathe and was placed in that manger to represent the time that God said, my plan is in full motion to bring you out of darkness and into a relationship with me. The whole point being that he wanted to destroy the hold that the devil had on the earth. I think it's amazing that I want to destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember at one point Jesus said, the prince of this earth comes after me, but he will find nothing in me. Therefore, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it back up, because when he comes looking for me, he'll find nothing in me. You know what? I pray for us Christians that we live for the Lord in such a way that the devil's ability to come towards our life and to find holes to attack us by are minimized. Praise God. If Jesus did it, he's given us an example of what we can do. I want you to know something. We have a responsibility. The enemy's going to come after us and try to attack us. But I tell you what, let's make sure that we don't open doors and have doors open in our life for him to have a right to come and attack us. I want you to understand something. What was Jesus saying? Now, Jesus lived this life having never sinned. And he was telling you, hey, by the way I've lived my life, when the enemy comes to evaluate me, search me, and try to find a way to come against me and have a right to attack me, he's going to find nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to stop him from trying to attack us and come against us. But what it does mean is that we should do all we can to make sure that when the enemy comes looking for us, we can speak like Jesus and say, hey, I'm serving God in such a way that he's going to find very little that he has a right to come and attack me for. I'm not going to open up my life to sins. I'm not going to purposely have something going on in my life that doesn't glorify God. I'm not going to have doors open that are having me live in a way that I'm saying the enemy has authority in this area. You know, the Bible says that who will we lend our members to? Who will we allow ourselves to serve? Are we actively serving the Lord? Or do we come to church on Sunday and act like a devil during the week? Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know something, that God has an expectation that if we're going to raise our hands and worship on Sunday and be nice on Sunday, we should be nice during the women's Christmas party. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If we're going to be nice on Sunday and be kind towards people on Sunday, guess what? I should get the same reception and kindness from you on a busy day in Walmart on the Black Sale Friday day as I do in Sunday morning worship. Praise God. I want you to know something. Woo! Your wife should receive the same husband of kindness and love and mercy that she would receive on a Sunday service. She should receive that when you get home an hour late from work because everything went wrong and you had to work over to try to fix something that you still couldn't fix, and you come home with all that burden on you. I want you to know something. Your wife should receive the same husband of kindness and mercy because you're putting your trust in the Lord and not in yourself and not in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't preach this. Pastor Regina is preaching this part. A husband should come home to the same wife of kindness and the same wife of mercy and the same wife of lifting her hands and worshiping God. He should come home to that same wife, no matter if the kids have been bad or at your own job during the day, you had struggles and difficulties, and the woman that you don't really care the most for and you pray for a lot got on your nerves extra that day. No matter what the situation is, when your husband comes home, he should see the wife that the Lord joined him with. Amen. Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand something, that during this season and during this month, we're going to constantly be reflecting on the fact that Jesus came because of the abundance of our Father's love in heaven. Amen? And I want you to know something, that our Father in heaven would stop at nothing to have a relationship with us, and we should stop at nothing to have a relationship with him. The same way his heart was tender enough that he would put his precious son, our Lord and Savior, in the most dire situations to rescue us, is the same way that we should honor and protect and keep our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Just like he looked over Jesus when he was in that manger, you know we ought to look over our relationship and make sure we're protecting it and keeping it and make sure that we are walking where the Lord wants us to walk. It says here in the Bible, in verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." In other words, the Lord took on the nature of man when he was here. "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." There's our guarantee that part of the reason the Lord walked in humanity is so that he could experience what we experience, so that he, without fail, even in his greatness of who he is and the holiness and the power of who he is, he can be involved in understanding our humanity. I want you to know something. God understands our frailty. God understands that even as Christians, there are days where we might doubt ourselves. There are days where we have difficulties. There's moments where we have weakness, but the Lord is here with us to make sure that we understand that he understands who we are. Now, here's what's powerful about that. Like I explained, he has absolute grace and mercy to know who we are. But he also has the authority to hold us accountable because he knows what we're really capable of. You want to know why you do some things and conviction comes upon you? It's not just because you did wrong, but it's because your Father in heaven is saying, "Hey, not only do I expect more of you, but I have empowered you through my blood, through my salvation, and through the power of Jesus. I've empowered you to be different than that. Remember, I can do nothing on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Amen? And it says here, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to make sure that he secures them that are tempted. Wow. Jesus went to the cross not only that we could be saved, but that he could have the empowerment to help us keep our salvation. That he would have the empowerment to help us overcome the wears and tears of life and keep us strong enough to be able to pursue him in such a way that at the end of our course, he'll be able to look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Isn't it powerful to know that we do not have to live this life on our own? You know, when you look at the manger scene this year, I want you to remember that when Jesus was born, he was a baby. I mean, it's one thing for us to think about him as 30 years old, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, going all over, creating thousands of fish out of a few. It's one thing for us to see him in his authority when he spoke to the sea and calmed it, in his authority when he spoke over devils and cast them out. It's one thing for us to see our Lord and Savior in that authority, but I don't want you to forget that there was a time where Jesus was a baby, an infant. He had to be fed. He had to be taken care of. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to talk. And I want you to know something, that our Father in heaven kept him through every moment of his life. And if he can keep Jesus when he's a baby, he certainly can keep us as we grow in him every day. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you that you will help us in every aspect of life. That, Father, without fail, you're with us. God, without fail, you're looking over us. God, without fail, all we have to do is look up and ask you, and you're right there to answer. In fact, you're standing at the door knocking, hoping that we will open it up, Father. Lord, you're never far from us. God, you love us. You care for us so much that you are willing to send your Son at his most vulnerable time ever as God. You are willing to send him in vulnerable humanity, causing him to be amongst us in a way that no one else would, to be able to bring us salvation that no one else could. And Lord, we just declare your glory. I just thank you for everyone here today, Father. I just declare, God, that you would touch every area of their life, Father, that you would help them in everything that they need, God, and that without fail, you'll walk them through every situation that they need to walk through. And Lord, I thank you for it, and I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we put Allison before you, Father. And Lord, in the middle of her situation, in the middle of this situation, Father, Lord, you are with her, Father. Strengthen her, heal her, give her peace, God. Be with her on every step, Father. And Father, we thank you, God, for healing, for blessing, God, for peace. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, we put Sophia before you right now, Father. And Lord, we break, God, this intense pain and headache, Father. We break all sickness off of her, Father. And Lord, we just declare every symptom of sickness to leave her, Father, and to bring her into health and wholeness, God. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, right now, praise God, we are in agreement with Sarah, God. Praying, God, for those families that don't have family or who have lost a loved one during this time of year. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, that you would give them grace, that, God, you would help them get through this holiday season where most people are celebrating and full of joy, Father. Lord, I pray right now, God, for those who are isolated, those who are alone, God, let places open up for them to be loved. Let houses or places open up, God, that will invite them in. And Father, I just pray for those who are suffering, mourning, and loss during this time, Father, that you would just put grace and strength on their families and help them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if there be anyone, Lord, right now that's in need of salvation, God, anyone watching us online, Father, anybody who's without you, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would just cry out to you for help, Father, that they would ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and Lord, you would come right now and start a journey with them, Father. Lord, if there be anybody who has slipped away in their relationship with you, Father, God, I pray for a restoring, a refreshing, a strengthening, and a renewal, Father, and I thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, if anybody is in need of prayer, we'll be here to pray with you. I just pray and just encourage you to be blessed and just have a great month of December and a great Christmas. Amen. God bless you.